Appreciate the prayers been offered and ask a continued interest in your prayers. You know, I say that every time, but it's because it's needed every time. Appreciate Brother Jamie, as you were praying and you paused there for a while, I had the thought, if you couldn't say another word, if all you had was heavy sighs, God hears plainly. I've heard prayers like that. Some of us have talked about recently some prayers has been offered like that. If it's heartfelt, if that's all you can do is lift up the groanings of your heart, God knows it exactly. So, appreciate that. We're going to, this morning, Lord willing, I'm going to give you a verse kind of to introduce the thought, but we're going to go to Exodus 33 to deal. But my first thought is Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well. That's an amazing passage. And what, to me, what's so amazing about that is that there was one that Jesus plainly told her, I'm the Messiah. How many other people did he say that? Not very many. And she wasn't sitting on the front row of the synagogue every Sunday, was she? She had a past. And he knew it. Just like he knows our past. Just like he knows our present. And thankfully, he knows our future. But in John 4, let me read a couple of verses I want to read real quick. Before we get into Exodus, the Lord told her, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, what? Seeketh such to worship him. Did you get that? He seeks those to worship him. He comes to those who seek to worship him in that way. I believe I felt his presence already this morning. That song service was outstanding. As far as the selection of hymns, now I don't know that we'd win any awards in this world for the singing, but it was praise. And I don't care about what the world thinks about that. It was praise. God is pleased with that. He seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So first of all, to lay the foundation, we know that we don't have any desire to worship him unless he's given us his spirit. But beyond that, and I hope that we can go far beyond that. We need to be walking in the Spirit. We need to be praying in the Spirit every day. And seeking His face every day. So that when we do come to the house of God, we've been in His presence. Do you know what happened to Moses when he had been in the presence of the Lord those 40 days? His face literally And we know that, don't we? It literally was glowing. And he put a veil over it. Do you know what happens when you spend more time in the presence of God? You'll glow. You can see it. It shows. Don't we all want to be like that? To be around folks that you can tell in prayer and praise and thanksgiving and whatever, they've been with the Lord. That's who I want to live my life with while we walk through this life. Don't you? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people humbly seeking to worship him in spirit and in truth. How wonderful that God has blessed us with an understanding of what he has done for us, our security in him, and that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. How wonderful. Now, so my question then is, can we see God? Well, we have to qualify that, don't we? Okay? In Exodus 33, if you remember the setting, do you remember what was happening there in Exodus 33? Moses had been on the mountain in the presence of God for 40 days. He hadn't eaten anything. He hadn't drank any water for 40 days. But when he came down from that mountain, his face was shining. I believe he was doing just fine, don't you? As a matter of fact, having been in the presence of God and hearing God's instructions for 40 days, don't you think he was, even though he went came down the mountain, don't you think his spirit was still on the mountaintop? Wow. You ever been in such a frame of mind when you just your spirit was just soaring, that you were just rejoicing in God and the things of God and the people of God and enjoying fellowship with them and feeling God's presence and being thankful for all that he's done for you? And then all of a sudden something happens. And you crash. Oh, yeah. Something happened to Moses, didn't it? There was some noise coming out of the camp as he was coming down the mountain. Joshua thought it was war. You know, we hear some of that music these days, don't we? Sounds like war. Moses said, no, that's not the sound of war. And you know what it was, don't you? God's people had given up on Moses. God's people had given up on God. That's the worst thing. And what happens when people give up on God? They turn to something else. They had fashioned a golden... These people who had just been delivered by the mightiest of hands out of Egypt and had seen the firstborn of the Egyptians slain, the scripture says there was not a house where there wasn't one dead. God delivered them out. You remember the Passover was based upon where he saw where the destroyer came through and saw the blood. That was their safety, the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to tell you something, that was a long time ago, but our safety today is still in the blood of the Lamb. As much as we see him, as much as we worship him, as much as we honor and glorify his name, our safety is still in the blood of the Lamb. When I selected that song, Face to Face, that song speaks so much about when we get up there. Listen, brethren, I hope we can be face to face with God every day while we're still down here. You know, we may be ready to go home, but we're not there yet. At least everybody I can see right now looks like you're still living and breathing. We're still here. But by the grace of God, we'll be there when it pleases Him. But until then, may God help us so we can see Him every day. Amen. And let our faces shine. You know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. Well, how about if that light is because you've been in the presence of God and you desire to do what pleases Him? All right. So Moses came down from the mountain, and the people had turned away from God. Aaron had fashioned a golden calf. They were dancing around the calf saying, these be the gods that delivered us out of Egypt. And the meekest man on the face of the earth, is what the Bible says about Moses, took those two tables of stone that God had given him and had written with God's own finger, the Ten Commandments. He took those stones and he broke them. He broke all Ten Commandments at one time. And you know what happened after that. But that had just happened. And now Moses is coming back to God. This people, here's the people that God had called Moses to lead to the promised land. Anybody want to sign up for that job? And he comes before God. And don't you know, his heart is heavy. This people, that God had shown such marvelous displays of his almighty power in parting the Red Sea, you know, delivering them from Egypt, parting the Red Sea and delivering them and destroying their enemies behind them. This is the people that Moses has been called to lead. And so Moses has been made to realize he needs God's help. And I hope every one of us, maybe Adeline hadn't experienced it yet, but I hope every one of us has come to the place in our lives where we realize we need God every day. We need to be seeing Him every day. We need to be looking for Him every day. All right? So, So this has just happened. Moses now is speaking with God. And in the interest of time, let's begin in verse 15. Exodus 33, verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses says, Lord, this is how other people are going to realize that you're with us, that your presence can be with us. Don't we want, when we gather together in this way, don't we want to feel the presence of God with us? Don't we want to feel that we can see Him in His Word, that we can feel His Spirit, that we can feel the leadership of His Spirit, that we can feel the conviction of His Spirit, that we can feel like that we've been in the presence of God? We need that as a church, as a body of people. We need to, so that it can encourage us one with another. But we need it when we leave those doors out there and go out into the world. We need to carry His presence with us. We want to feel His presence every day. All right? So he says, And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And so Moses, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Can we see God? Yes, there's an aspect that we can see God. But there's also an aspect where we cannot look upon his face. He's about to tell him this. Yeah. We cannot look upon his face and live. Why? Well, think about who we are. Think about what we are. Now, this is Old Testament. Think about it. And let me just keep reading. He says, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou, and God speaking now, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. You see, we need an exalted view of our God, that we might reverence him, that we might humble ourselves before his presence every day, because we realize that, naturally speaking, we cannot look upon the face of God and live. And we're reminded of that in the New Testament, in John chapter 1. All right? I believe it's down around verse 18. All right, so we cannot look upon the face of God. But that doesn't mean we can't see his glory. Because his glory shines forth in so many ways. And so he said, thou canst not look upon no man shall look upon my face and live. No man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. To a great extent, what he means by the back parts is that after he's passed by, he's going to show Moses what has been. Perhaps this was part of what the instruction that Moses received about creation, when he's speaking about what has been. The more we understand, and that's why I encourage everybody to study the Old Testament, the more we can see about what God has done, the more we appreciate what he's doing now. The more we see how that God has manifested his power, and to a great extent in the Old Testament, he manifested his power in many ways. And we see his glory in every way that he manifested himself. We can't look upon his face. He's a spirit, remember, John chapter 4. He's a spirit, and those that seek to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, John told us to later on in 1 John, he told us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Are we worshiping in the right spirit? We need to try the spirit, don't we? Are we worshiping him in spirit and in truth? You know, and I don't want to get critical here, but you know, the fact is there's a lot of people who are worshiping the God that they want. You know, who are seeking out a place where they feel like that it's worshiped the way they think it ought to be. But bless your hearts, our responsibility as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to study his word and find a place that more closely aligns itself with what his word says about him and not what we want it to say about him. And so we see him in his word. We may not be able to look upon his face, but we can see his glory. We can see him in his word. We can see him in many ways. God blessed Moses to see what he describes as his back part, that which has been. And so when we go back into the Old Testament today and we read about the things that God has done, we read about creation. We read about the flood. We read about his judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. All of those things are valid lessons for today, aren't they? It happened a long time ago, but guess what? God hasn't changed. His view upon sin, his view upon the immorality that those places that, like Sodom and Gomorrah, his view hasn't changed a bit. And so we see those things that pleases him. We see those things that bring glory to his name. We see all of that. We see God in that. All right? So when we think about then, we can't physically see him. But bless your hearts, we can see his glory. And his word reveals his will and his character. And so as we think about, we come to the New Testament, John chapter 1. I mentioned this a while ago, but I didn't tell you what verse, but verse 18, John 1 verse 18. He says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." In other words, we may not be able to look upon the face of God the Father, but if we can see Jesus, if we can see who he is, if we can see what he did, and if we can be more like him, and bless your heart, we'll see the glory of God. Seeing him. So to see God then, since the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, to see God, we need to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as one who came into this world and did something that if you'll accept it, it can be effective for you. Not one who tried to do all he can and the rest is left up to you. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible came to save his people from their sins, and on the cross he said, "It's finished." He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And he did that. And bless your hearts, when we can see Jesus for who he is and what he has accomplished, then bless your hearts, we can worship him as we should. And so our opportunity, our privilege, and our job as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to seek his face every day. And one of the best ways to do that is to seek him in his word, which reveals his character and his will for us each day. Jesus is that word. It says the word was made flesh. John 1, 14. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That expression, dwelt among us, means he tabernacled among us. Now that's an interesting expression, because you go back to the Old Testament when they had the tabernacle. And what happened after Moses followed the pattern that God gave him, and they made everything according to the pattern, and they placed everything in the tabernacle and raised it all up and did everything just like God told them to do? What happened? Came down. That cloud covered the tabernacle, filled the tabernacle, and the glory of God shined forth from it. Do you know everything about that tabernacle points us to Christ? And the Spirit was not given to him by measure. And they couldn't even go in that tabernacle because of that, all the glory of God that was there. It's referred to as the Shekinah glory that came forth from that tabernacle. When God gave the pattern, and when they did everything according to the pattern, he was pleased to come down and be in it. Amen. The reason it was everything had to stay according to the pattern because it was to point us to Christ. And he's perfect in every way. And if they hadn't done it according to the pattern, he couldn't have come down and been in that. But it honored, God honored it. Now, we know that everything that man does is limited and has flaws to it. But no doubt God was superintended that work to such a degree that it fulfilled his purpose. All right? There came a time when David desired to build a house for the Lord. And so the preparations was made, and during Solomon's lifetime, they built the temple. All right? And guess what happened at the dedication of the temple? God's presence came down again to show his presence among his people. And he was, and it pleased him to manifest his presence in the temple. But we don't have that today. But we had the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we in him, more than anywhere else, we can see the glory of God. Because the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. And God was pleased with him. Remember that voice from heaven twice at his baptism and also on the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And on that Mount of Transfiguration, he was glowing, wasn't he? The presence and the manifestation of the glory of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only did Jesus come, not only was the Word manifested, made flesh and dwelt among us, but we find that the Scriptures tell, 1 Peter 1, verse 11, when he's speaking about the prophets, he says that it was the Spirit of Christ in them. So not only do we have those red letters, those words of Christ that he spoke that are recorded for us in the New Testament, but it was the Spirit of Christ in the prophets as they spake. And so we need to hear them too, don't we? Because it was the Spirit of Christ in the prophets. After Jesus' resurrection and when he appeared unto his apostles, he said, Luke 24:44, he said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." We see the glory of God in the Word of God from cover to cover. Bless your hearts, we can rejoice in that, can't we? And Jesus told those Pharisees, "Seek ye," John 5:39, I believe it is. He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." Oh, bless your hearts. If we want to see the glory of God, look at Jesus Christ. Look at the Word of God. And look at it long and look at it often. And ask God to help you to understand it. Bless your hearts. How would your life be changed? I know this is a high bar, but think about it for just a moment. How would your life be impacted if every day you lived, you could see God a little more clearly? Somebody might be saying, "Well, preacher, that's impossible." Well, with that attitude, yeah, it is. It's not going to happen. But if it's the desire of our heart to see the Lord every day, I don't know, you know, there's some denominations that think that you've got to have this higher and higher and higher experience every time you get together, or you're not growing. Listen, sometimes we're not on the mountaintops, but we can still be growing. Even when life is hard. As a matter of fact, we probably grow more when it's life is hard than other times, don't we? All right? So, it's not necessarily a heightened experience. But even, you know, David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might trust in thy statutes. In other words, we can get closer to the Lord, even though from someone else on the outside looking in, it may not look like it, but we can get closer to the Lord in our afflictions and in times of trouble and heartache. We can draw closer to the Lord and see him more clearly. And sometimes when we're on the mountaintop, sometimes when life is easy and we're living comfortably and we get sleepy in his service. You know, that's what happens when we get comfortable, isn't it? That's where the Laodicean church was in Revelation chapter 3. You know, the lukewarm church, they were comfortable. The Lord sometimes makes us uncomfortable, doesn't he? And we need to be careful in those times when we are comfortable in life, not to forget the Lord. Oh, how we need to remember that. All right. So, God manifested his presence in the tabernacle. He manifested his presence in the temple. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was the Spirit of Christ in the prophets and in the Psalms and all of that that are given to us. So we're to search the Scriptures, for in them, bless your hearts, they testify of Jesus Christ. And so if we want to see his glory, then we need to regularly expose ourselves to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's good for us as far as helping us to grow in grace. Now, fellowship is good, preaching is good, but you need to spend some time personally in the Word of God. Now, if you've been hearing it on a regular basis, and you can grow in that, but let me tell you something. There's something about personally reading the Word. The Holy Spirit can minister you. Now the Spirit can take the message that the preacher delivers and apply it to you personally. But the Spirit can also lead your mind into passages that are just for you at that particular moment. And if you ever hear a message that you don't think applies to you, I hope you'll listen carefully and treasure it up, because you might need it the next week. You might need it the next month. You might realize, boy, I needed that last week. I needed that a year ago. Well, the Spirit can lead your mind into those things that the preacher might not touch on for a while. And so we need the Word of God. We need to be seeing the glory of God. And let me tell you something. Other people need to be seeing the glory of God shining forth from you. We as a church want to be a bright and shining light on, like a city set on the hill. We want to be an encouragement to others. When we have visitors come in among us, we want to be able to show the love of God to them, that we want them to be able to see it. There's ways that the glory of God needs to be shining for us, because it could be an encouragement to somebody you don't even realize is looking. But God always sees our worship. He always sees our demeanor throughout the week. He's always aware of what we're doing. We need the glory of God on a regular basis. John chapter 14, before Jesus went to the cross, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, that you've not known me? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. Wow. It doesn't bother me at all that I'm not able to see the face of our Father in heaven, because God by faith has blessed me to see the face of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Isn't that glorious? that we can see God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have his word. And God, by his providence and by his provision and by his power, he brought this, his word, into our language so it's easy to read. We're able to read it. And in that word, it shows us the glory of God, the will of God, the judgments of God, the way of God. And we need that, don't we? Because Jesus said it, Matthew 16, if any man will come after me, which means if any man will be like me. If you want others to see Christ in you, you've got to be like him. No other way. If any man will come after me, which means if any man will be like me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And over in Luke, he would say, take up your cross daily and follow me. That's the only way others are going to see Christ in you. For us to be more like him. And so it behooves us to read this precious word. And to think about what God has told us in his word. You know, yes, it's a long book. And it's quite a task to read the whole Bible in a year, isn't it? Now, somebody that's a fast reader, you could probably knock it out a whole lot faster than somebody like me. I just can't read a whole lot without pausing and considering something along the way, you know? You've experienced that, haven't you? You want to sit down and read, maybe your daily reading maybe is 5 chapters or something like that. And you, after that first chapter, you get hung up on something and... sometimes it's hard to make it. Well, I tell you something, if you get hung up on something, maybe the Lord's talking to you. Maybe there's something there that you need. Maybe you need to pause, take a Selah, right? Pause and consider, all right? So he that has seen me, Jesus said, has seen the Father. What does Jesus look like? You know, Isaiah 53 says that when we see him, he hath no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. In his physical appearance, there was some Greeks that came one time and said, sir, we would see Jesus. What were they looking for? Were they looking to see this one that had done such great miracles? I don't know. The word doesn't tell us why they were seeking him. But that should be the desire of our heart every day. We would see Jesus. Because if we can see Jesus, we can see the Father. Because everything about Jesus represents the Father's foreknowledge, his purpose, his predestination of a people to be with him in glory. All of the things that God has done for us can be seen in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he had a work that's not ours to do, he gave us an example for us to follow. And we're to follow that example, and we're to be more like him, and we're to let that light shine so that others can see him in us. And if others can see him in us, they just might ask us for a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. So we're to be ready, Peter said. Be ready to give that answer, right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Time's about gone, isn't it? My goodness. Familiar passage. Notice these first 3 verses. We'll just get 3 verses here. The book of Hebrews. Did Paul write Hebrews? Well, that's my persuasion. There's a lot of preachers that are not convinced of that, and that's okay. I mean, whoever was the penman, I know who was the author. Jesus inspired it. Whoever wrote this, it was his spirit in them working. All right? But it just seems like to me, it sounds like Paul's writings. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, from what we've already said, even though God spoke through the prophets, it was the Spirit of Christ in them, right, that was speaking, right? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. God appointed him heir of all things. That means he owns all things. That means he's in control. That means he's our Lord. And bless your hearts, we need to submit to him every day. But isn't it a pleasure to submit to the Lord? Isn't it a joy to follow his ways? So he hath appointed heir, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Go back to the early part of Genesis when it says, and God said, there's the word of God, creating all things. That when he said, let us make man in our own image, that us is the plural of majesty. So we had the Father, we had the Word, we had the Holy Ghost back there in creation. All right? By whom also he made the worlds. When John would tell us about that in the gospel, according to John chapter 1, verse 3, he says, all things were made by, he was talking about the Word. The Word says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him, what was made? And without him was not anything made that was made. That covers it. He's God. Though the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, he is God. Who being, verse 3, who being, and here's where it gets to what we're talking about today. Who being the brightness of his glory. Whose glory? The Father's glory. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Remember what he told Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. The brightness of his glory. I've described it in the past this way. There is no greater expression of the glory of God than you will find in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The brightness of his glory. He made the glory of God manifested. Everything that Jesus did. You could go to John chapter 12. And he speaks about how that everything that he did, and every, you know, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but of him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Everything that Jesus did, everything that he said, everything that he went about doing was what the Father sent him to do. And when you see those things being described to us in his word, you're seeing the manifestation of the will of the Father and the purpose of the Father, the love of the Father, the mercy of the Father, all of the things about the Father, what he sent his Son to do for us. In his love and in his mercy and in his long suffering. Oh my goodness. When Moses came down off that mountain, and when he, after he saw all that they did and went through all of that, and then he was praying to God, he begged God to forgive their sin. And if not, and then you find a hyphen, only place in the Bible you find that punctuation mark. It's like God just stopped him from saying anything else at the moment. And then when he collected himself, he said, but if not, blot me out of thy book. Moses was willing to give himself so that God would forgive that people. Do we have such a desire of heart that we're willing to spend and be spent in the service of God if it'll bless somebody else? If it'll show forth the glory of God, if it'll show forth Christ to others, aren't we willing to do what we can to be a help to somebody else? Aren't you thankful God had mercy on you? Aren't you thankful that you've had good examples who have lived before you and have shown Christ to you in the way that they've loved you, in the way that they've been merciful to you, in the way they've helped you, maybe in times when you weren't able to help yourself? We need, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to be more like him, then we need to have others more in the forefront of our mind than ourselves. Because selfishness is diametrically opposed to Christ, Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. Oh, how we need to be more like. So he says, who being the brightness of his person and the express image, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now, I've gone through this with you before, but I'll remind you, that word image there, there's primarily two words in the English language for image. One is an icon. You know, your computer or iPhone or whatever, you got these icons all over it, and you see that and you recognize something. It represents something. When Jesus was being questioned about whether it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, don't you wish he'd answered that differently? But Jesus said, show me a penny. Whose image and superscription is this? Image. The word there for image is icon, a representation, a similitude. But there's another word for image in the English language. And the original Greek word was almost the same as our English word, and it's character. The express image of his person. That word there is character. Not icon, not just a resemblance, but the character. He is the express image of God's person. In other words, if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. He's the express image of his person. And if we want to be more like Jesus, we look at him and we follow him, deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him, and bless your hearts, folks will see more of God. They'll see more godliness in us. And when you see somebody else that's applying themselves to his service, then you'll see more of God. As the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us needs to have that at the top of our list. So that we can let our light shine. So that we collectively can be like a city set upon a hill. It cannot be hid. We need to be showing forth his glory. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Ah, there's so much we could say about that. Can we see God? We have to see him. In his word, we have to see him. In his son, we have to see him as he shines forth from others. So what if each day you are able to see God a little more clearly? Do you think it would impact your life? You think it would have a good influence on others? You think it would bring more glory to God? The only way we can do that is to start spending more time looking at him instead of the things of this world. His word. Spend more time in prayer. Oh, I'm not talking about that hurried prayer that we mouth as we run out the door on our way. No, spend a little time in humble, fervent prayer. Not like the Pharisee, but like the publican. You remember that. Real praying. How's your prayer life? If your prayer life is going good, it'll show. It'll show. May God help us to love him enough, to be thankful enough for what he's done, that we want to spend some time with him. We want to see his face. We want to see more of his glory. Moses had a tremendous task ahead of him, and he knew he needed the presence of God to be with them. And I'm going to tell you something, we've got a race to run as well. And it's not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. Remember Hebrews 12? Remember Romans 12? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the Word of God does for us. It renews our mind. The inward man needs to be strengthened every day. We need to be feeding the inward man, or the outer man's going to take over. It will. We need it. So, I know I've gone past, but so let me just sum it up this way. Jesus said, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn. Don't you know it all already? If someone never opens the Bible, I get the impression they think they know it already. And yet you can open that Bible and you can turn to a familiar passage and God can show you something you never knew about it. And he could do that every day of our life. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you think if Jesus told us that that's what we ought to do, that it's necessary? Is it just a good suggestion for a more happier life? No. It's something we need to live. And not die as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He said that I may know him. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Paul know the Lord? I mean, he already wrote all these other things. If he didn't know the Lord by then, why would we read those other things? Yes, he knew the Lord. But he wanted to know him better. Is that possible? Absolutely. Could you know the Lord better? Yes. Not apart from his word, though. Not apart from his word. We need it. And however way we can get it, we need it. 2 Peter chapter 1. After he talks about after we have the introduction, he's going to add to your faith and give it. Let's see. The first part of this escaping me. Yeah, that's what I'm getting to, but there's. And beside this, giving all diligence. You mean we have to be diligent? Preacher, I'm busy. I got a lot of things going on in my life. I don't have time for this. Ooh. Well, that's kind of what people are saying when they, yeah. If we don't have time to give some diligence to the Word of God, we're not going to grow. We might be reminded of some things, but we're not going to grow. So he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add. Seven things. Add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge, temperance, all those things. You're adding to it. And what he says later on, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we want that abundant entrance into his kingdom? Do we want to feel the presence of God? You know, if you feel the presence of God, you have to know you're in his kingdom. He's the king. And what the king says goes. So that first chapter, 2 Peter, he tells us to be adding to the giving all diligence. Add to your faith. He's given us the faith. He's given us he's enabled us. Now use it. And then the last, third chapter of 2 Peter, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Add to it and grow in it. That's the whole message of 2 Peter. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Brethren, that's what we need today. Whatever the nature of the challenge, whatever the nature of the situation, whatever the nature of things that we're facing, we need to see God. We may not be able to look upon his face in this physical body, but he's given us ample ways to see him. If you're born of the Spirit of God, if he's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, you have what you need to see God. May God help each one of us to spend so much time in his presence that it will show, that it'll glow. If you want to keep going with that, I guess, and we'll grow. We need to grow, don't we? We need to grow. I don't mean just in numbers. That's good too. And that can come. But it may be that we need to be growing in some other ways before that will happen. You know, we're just passing through winter. Trees, they don't do any growing. Do they do any growing in the wintertime? That's a trick question. They do in the roots. They dig deeper. They get a better hold. Because when they get more growth up here, they got more to support it. Sometimes the church needs to do that. We've lost some mighty precious souls here lately. Other folks have lost some precious souls. Time for us to step up and take the baton. Not rely on others. I'm thankful for all the gifts we have in Piney Grove Church. We are blessed. We are wonderfully blessed. But we need to continue to grow. Need to continue to let our light shine. Need to continue to be faithful to God. He's still on his throne. He's still enabling us. You know, we mourn the passing of those precious ones that have been here for so long. But when we're really thinking like we should, we can rejoice with them because they are rejoicing. And when we're thinking like we should, we can rejoice with them. Yeah, we're going to miss them. But that should not override the joy that we know that they're experiencing because their troubles are over. But the same God in whom they relied while they walked here is the same God that we have that can help us every day. May God help us to see him more clearly and love him more dearly. May God bless you, sir.